Counted based off your income, regardless of your insurance status. They partner with local pharmacies to give you discounted prices on select medications. The discount program could save you thousands off the cost of your meds. No membership required. Simply get your medications prescribed by a CareArc provider, visit one of their contract pharmacies, and save. At CareArc, they believe healthcare should be affordable. Learn how you can save at carearc.org.
KVOE News Time is 8:22, which makes it Newsmaker 2 time. We have been highlighting, really for the last several weeks, all the different activities with Unbound Gravel 2023. And really, the core of the schedule began yesterday. And it really ratchets up today and then continues all the way through the upcoming weekend. So we're more than happy to have with us. We're overjoyed to have with us Christy Moen, who's been a longtime Unbound Gravel writer and administrator. Christy, good morning. How are
good
you?
Good morning. I'm so good. How are you?
Oh, so far so good.
Nice.
We also are, again, very pleased to have with us here past champions Ian Boswell and Lauren DeCrescenzo joining us. Ian, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Happy to be here.
I'm glad to have you in. Lauren, good morning. How are you?
I am really excited to be here as well, and great pronunciation of my last name.
Oh, hey!
Got it right?
I'm glad to do that, so super.
That's why I got in here late, so Chuck would have to do that.
I just say LDC, then I don't have to worry about it.
You don't have to say the
LDC,
thing,
and then you're good.
Wow,
really
we learned something, though. We could go that route now.
Yeah, there you go. Awesome. Well, Christy, we mentioned here, you know, the schedule is jam-packed. Mm-hmm. The rider field is jam-packed, obviously, with over 4,000 cyclists are right around there coming in. But before we start talking about what's upcoming on the schedule, how cool was the Gravel Cycling Hall of Fame induction ceremony last
week? Oh, it was great. It was really awesome to honor those four inductees and be there to just kind of celebrate community. It was really fun.
All right. What about the schedule here starting later today?
It's because literally it's like huge. Drinking from a fire hose. It's like, just go. So there's something for everybody. You know, the expo opens this afternoon. Come down and check it out. Just check out the full schedule, join a group ride. You don't have to be a participant to be coming down and enjoying the gravel festivities. There's literally something for everybody. So
the expo, basically, we're building a new city within a city, it looks like.
Yeah, there's a new city being built on Mechanic Street there. So it's really fun to watch it go up. I wish I had time-lapsed it. So
well, I know.
That's for next year.
And it all starts this afternoon?
Mm-hmm. Yep, 2:00 it opens up.
And then that expo runs through the day tomorrow?
Yep, all day tomorrow as well. So
vendors
and then we shut that
bound.
Down for Saturday because that's like a, you know, that's race day.
Race day, yeah. But I guess vendors, all-time record number of vendors?
Yep, all-time records for pretty much everything.
And we invite anyone to come on down and check it out. It's it's the All Gravel Expo, but there's really something for all to learn and view and possibly purchase. So
yep. Well, and I got to say, you guys, Chuck led off by saying that you've been championing this event this last week or two, and really, you guys have been championing this event from the get-go, and that's been part of our growth success. So I really appreciate everything KVOE's done to help us spread the word in the community and just help us get more folks.
Thanks
on
for saying
bikes
that.
In here.
We appreciate that.
For sure.
I was going to ask you here about, you know, we've asked you because you've been involved with us for so long about just kind of the growth of the event from 34 riders nearly 20 years ago to what we see today. It's mind-blowing because I remember when, you know, the first few years when it's like, okay, we've got to 100. Now we've got to 250. Mm-hmm. We've got to 500. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, there were huge celebrations then.
Yeah.
But that's nothing like what we got now.
No, it's crazy. And I think, I mean, we have two really star caliber humans here in the room with us, with Lauren and Ian. And I think that's also an important aspect of this cycling community is that what we're seeing in gravel is really – good humans trying to shepherd and lead us the way forward as we keep growing. Because I don't think it's going to slow down anytime soon. I think it's because it's an inclusive and welcoming sport. Lots of people just want to try it out, and it's been really crucial. And I can't say it was planned that, you know, we had these two win. I think they had it planned, but we had nothing to do with it. So.
Well, it's great to have you both in here. As Christy mentioned, you are superstars in the gravel grinding world. And Lauren, let's start with you. What's first prompted you to head down here in the Flint Hills and check out Unbound? I mean, how'd you get involved with this group here?
Right. So my first trek through the Flint Hills was actually in 2019. I didn't finish my first race. I crashed and I fractured my collarbone, and there was still things to be done down here in Emporia. Yeah. But yeah, the event was canceled in 2020 with COVID, and yeah, coming back in 2021 with the support of my team Cinch, I like had a good group, a really great group of people behind me, and I was much more prepared my second time in the Flint Hills, because the Flint Hills are a little crazy.
Yeah. How deep did you go before you crashed?
I didn't make it that far. I was so ill prepared the first time I did the race in 2019. I was like, oh, this seems like a good idea. 200 miles in Kansas. What could possibly go wrong?
There's no hills here, right? Yeah, flat. Kansas is flat, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was in 2019. When it went north.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How disappointing was it not to finish? To get injured on top of that, and then how did that maybe change your game plan going into the 21 race?
Right, it was very disappointing to leave. And like, it is such a great accomplishment for anyone just to finish this race. It's so cool to be able to ride 200 miles and say like check that off, and not being able to do that, and coming out injured, it left me with like, I have to do this. I have to finish this race. I need to do this. So. Yeah, I mean, that's when I joined my current team, Cinch. I joined Cinch in 2020 during the pandemic. And, just having, like the actual, like, organization and structure of, like, okay, this is how you do the gravel, Lauren.
Like that. What was your past experience then in cycling? And it sounds like you've kind of learned to a certain degree, from your own experience, learning from others, but also kind of to a degree learning on the fly. What was your past experience in cycling like?
Right. Like Ian sitting here, I was once a roadie. Still a little bit of a roadie, but yeah, I have a road background. I started cycling when I was in my teenage years. Yep. Just on the road though. I didn't have like the off-road experience like some of these mountain bikers, so like learning all this off-road like rocky stuff was like very new. I had to kind of learn it on the fly, and yeah, I've learned a lot like from the teen environment, just like knowing how to corner in the gravel and I'm a roadie by trade. Mm-hmm. But what really turned me to the gravel though was a horrible crash I had in 2016, resulting in a traumatic brain injury.
Oh my goodness.
I woke up in a rehab center. I never wanted to touch a bike again. And that's when eventually I got out, I was discharged, and I just couldn't stay away from the bike. I knew that gravel would be a safer entry to the sport, given there are like not as many cars, the speeds are a little slower, and the groups are a little bit smaller. So yeah, it was like a good entry point to get back into the sport. It was gravel for me.
Well, to accomplish what you've accomplished from when you first started here, not finishing, and then knowing to yourself, I've got to do something different training-wise, and as far as tactics go to run this race in the Flint Hills, that's a long way to come in just a couple years' time. So how were you able to pull that off?
With the support of Cinch, I started being coached by them. So I was able to get on top of the training and got some new skills. The tactics... I'm excited this year, actually. The women, for the first year ever, we're getting our own start,
yep.
The elite women. And I'm really, really excited about this because I think we're finally going to have a women's race. Whereas in previous years, it's like, all right, who can find the fastest group of guys to go with? But like, this will be like mano-a-mano like for the women's race. And I'm really excited about that.
I think that's 5:52, if I'm not mistaken, isn't
right.
it, Christy?
We're going to try to stick to that. trains, planes, and automobiles.
I understand. I understand.
How does that change the game, though, for you to have that extra start? You mentioned, or the separated start, because you kind of mentioned it's more of a mano type of deal. How does that change your planning going in, knowing full well that things may wind up shaking out entirely different than the original plan?
Right. I have been very, very on top of my training because I think that it'll require us to be really, really strong. All the women are super strong, so just being ready for anything. Mm-hmm. It'll be amazing to be able to like see my competitors, like who I'm racing against the entire time. We're not just all like just lost in the swarm of guys. Like, oh, is she up there? Anyone up there? Like,
yeah. Well, yeah. If you've seen that launch at that start line, it's just a mass of humanity.
Yes.
When you first get going. You mentioned, Lauren, the training and physical training that you have to do. And that's obvious. It's evident if you're going to run a race like this or ride a race like this, 200 miles, and the grind of the Flint Hills. What about mentally? I mean, what do you do mentally? Because there has to be times out there that, you know, it gets really tough.
Oh, yeah. Actually, in times like that, I mentioned my traumatic brain injury. In times like that, I remember that the difference between pain and suffering. Like, I never like to say that I'm suffering out there on my bike. Like, I put myself through this willingly. Like, this is pain. Pain is a privilege. Like, I choose to ride 200 miles. Like, when I woke up in the rehab center, when I had to, like, come back from a traumatic brain injury, I did not put myself in that situation. So I like to, you know, in moments like that, I'm like, this is fun, Lauren. You wanted to do this. There's actually a lottery to be able to do this. So you should, keeping it in that perspective has really helped me, disassociate from this. I'm not suffering. It's just pain. It's painful, and it's just a temporary experience.
Well, I think that's kind of a theme of these people we see coming to Unbound Gravel, Christy. Pain is a privilege.
Pain is a privilege.
I know. That's it.
Can't be put any better than that. Can
yeah, you? I agree. Lauren, before we shift over to Ian, what has being involved in Unbound meant for you, you know, over the last several years? And what did winning a couple of years ago, what did that mean for you?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. Winning Unbound in 2021 completely changed my life.
Completely,
yeah. Before winning in 2021, I was actually like a researcher at the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta.
Wow.
I was doing cycling kind of like as my side gig. And I was like just hoping, you know, for a result. And then, yeah, winning this was a life-changing, altering experience because, you know, I was then able to return to professional cycling full time, and now I spend all of my time as a professional cyclist, and I don't have to go to the cubicle anymore. And I love it.
This is anything but a cubicle.
My gosh.
This is not a cubicle.
that is for sure. What about your experience with this Lifetime Unbound crew in this community of Emporia? I mean, is this a special place to be as far as this event?
Yeah, I mean, I love the city of Emporia. All the locals here are just, like, so stoked on this race, and I love it. Like, just, you know, just pre-riding the course, like, everyone's coming out of their houses, and they're like, ooh. Is that time of year again?
Yeah, time of year again, yep.
Awesome. I mean, everyone in the community is so supportive of this race, and it's awesome being like, this is the Super Bowl. This is the Super Bowl of gravel. And I know that everyone here loves football, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm ready. I'm excited for the Super Bowl to go down in Emporia.
Great to have you back.
Thank you.
Let's shift over to Ian Boswell, who was also a 2021 winner. Ian, before we start talking about, you know, I guess the 2023 race at hand, what got you into cycling and what brought you to Unbound?
I raced bikes since I was 7 years old. So I started off with BMX and then started doing road racing. And I raced professionally on the road until 2019. Similar to Lauren, I actually also had a pretty bad crash and a TBI. So it's ironic we're both here.
Wow.
Maybe if anyone has had a crash recently, maybe they'll be in luck for winning this year. So I left professional road racing and decided that, you know, this gravel stuff looks fun. And I guess in 2019, you know, I had already been following, you know, kind of gravel racing, and I'd seen Unbound, you know, someone like Ted King, who's, I think, won the event twice, going for his third in the XL this year. But I knew it was like a possibility to like go to these events and do cycling in a different way. You know, I wasn't having to go to Europe. I could, you know, come see new places in the U.S. You know, I grew up in Oregon. Now I live in Vermont. So I spent a lot of time on the coasts, not a lot of time in the middle of the country. And, I came in 2021 for the first time because it is, as Lauren said, it's the biggest event in cycling, and everyone knows it, you know, especially every American cyclist, but now every cyclist around the world. Unbound is like the crown jewel of gravel racing. So I came and I was just blown away by how big it is. I mean, even just coming into town yesterday and seeing, you know, a little banner downtown with my face on, I'm like, this is so weird.
Like, it's awesome. So, you know, because I mean, I should move to Emporia.
Yeah,
I mean, I know a realtor.
She can hook you up there.
Awesome. She's got you set. She may actually have a place already lined up for you.
Oh.
But no, it's just been so awesome for me to see that, like, you know, we can come, people can come from all over the world to this, you know, relatively small town in the middle of Kansas, which is a place I don't think a lot of people recognize as a place to go ride bikes. You know, people think of California or they think of, you know, Boulder, Colorado.
Right.
And yet the cycling community here is so big and it's so, you know, it runs so deep in the culture here. And it really has become kind of the epicenter of gravel cycling globally.
So what about the venue, this ride in the Flint Hills? What's your take on that?
I mean, it's challenging. There's no question. And I think, you know, the first year I did it, I had heard horror stories about flat tires and mechanicals. You know, I had like more than enough stuff to get me through, you know, the race. But it surprisingly is way more beautiful than I had thought. You know, having flown across the country countless times, you know, you look down at Kansas from the air and you're like, oh, I wonder what's down there. But I'd never been here. And to actually come and ride the roads here, it's something really unique. It's different than any other race that I've done, just as far as the, you know, the surface, the amount of climbing, you know, the open ranges, the plethora of roads. There's so many roads. But it's really, I mean, I'm staying at the Guffler Mansion for the third time, and it really kind of feels like an annual trip for me now. You know, they've got these little cookies that I always like to eat, and, you know, just, it's become part of my annual, you know, year.
You almost have, it's like a rite of passage is what it sounds like.
Yeah, well, I mean, and as Lauren said, you know, I've done big races. I've done the Tour de France and the Giro and the World Championships on the road, and to find that, you know, you have that same level of, like, you know, pride of, you know, doing this race is pretty amazing to realize that, you know, you can have that same sense of gratification by not just winning the race, but I think anyone who finishes. I think that's one thing that's super unique about this race. You know, Lauren and I are sitting here as defending, well, not defending champions anymore, but former winners. But to realize that, you know, we're just like one, you know, one part of the event. You know, there's people from, you know, all over the world doing not just the 200, but the 100 mile, the 50 mile, the 25 mile, and it's, you know, everyone has a sense of accomplishment when they cross that finish line. And I think that's something really unique to gravel. And what, you know, Christy and her team have done is built this sense of, you know, people use community a lot, but it really is. You know, it's amazing how much connection is here on the bike.
Do you like the new launch format with the pros going off before the rest of the 200 pack?
Well, we haven't tried it yet. I did just look at the race guide and realize that we start now 10 minutes before we started last year, so we're actually starting before sunrise.
Right.
That's where I wasn't as nice.
Yeah. I think as the performance side of this sport does become more competitive, you know, I do think that it does make sense to give, you know, the elite riders, you know, the people have trained all year, they're spending, you know, a ton of money and time just preparing for the race. And to give them the opportunity, you know, for them to race just their competition, and especially for the women, I think it makes the biggest difference, as Lauren said, yeah, to actually separate and for them to be able to see their competition. And I think it also really also helps all the people who are in the mass start event later on, because they're all of a sudden no longer being driven to ride too hard in the beginning to try to keep up with the elite riders. You know, they can all of a sudden settle into their pace. They can find their group. It probably makes it safer for everyone across the board. And, you know, as this event continues to grow, you know, I think safety is always a concern of any event organizer. And, like, you know, if you can make a small change, and I think there's, what, 160 elite men, 68 elite women. You know, so it's not a ton of riders who are actually going out early. But I think just the stress that it alleviates for everyone else makes a big difference in as far as safety. And also, you know, people are here to race their age group. People are here to race, you know, their friends. And so it gives everyone a little bit more of an opportunity to kind of see who they're racing against.
What's different between road cycling and gravel cycling? Let me ask you that, because both of you come from the road background, but what's different as far as your setups, your mental prep, some of the different challenges that you may have? Ian, I'll start with you on that.
I mean, the setups are similar. You know, obviously you're on bigger tires. You have, you know, more protection against flats and stuff. But I think the biggest difference for me is the sense of kind of inclusivity of cycling. You know, when you look at road cycling, everything is divided by categories. And, you know, if you're at a race, no one's just going to a race to ride. And there are people here for Unbound who are here to just ride 200 miles. They don't care where they finish. They're going to stop at all the aids. You know, people tell me they have pizza and hamburgers at the aid stations. You know, we're in and out of there in 45 seconds. And, you know, and so I think just the spectrum of participation is so much broader in gravel cycling. And for me, I think that's the biggest difference, you know, to see people who are here just to ride and people who are here to ride as fast as they can. And you don't really get that in road cycling, but you do here.
Gotcha. How about you, Lauren? What's different about the road cycling setup, mindset, preparation versus gravel?
Right. I would say the mindset and the preparation can be very similar to road. Like you're training, you're working on that fitness always. But yeah, just like Ian said, I think that it's a much more welcoming and inclusive vibe just going into this race. I mean, the whole town, it's like a whole town of everyone and like people of all skills and abilities, and everyone's just coming together for, yeah, the big show. But yeah, like, yeah, in road, it's much more like separated by categories, and yeah, this is a much more inclusive environment for mm-hmm. us as former roadies.
Gotcha. Understand. We're fortunate to be joined by a couple of Unbound past winners 2021, Ian Boswell, Lauren DiCrescenzo in studio with us here this morning with Christy Moan of Unbound. And Ian, let's talk about what's it take to win this thing. I mean, back in 2021, obviously you have to be fit. And then I did ask Lauren about this too, mentally, how important is your mental preparation and your mental pace out there during this event?
I think this race also takes a lot of luck. You know, that's yeah. one thing. And because it is so long, and that's one of the beauties of this event is, you know, it is the longest, hardest gravel race on the calendar. And I think that, you know, because of the, you know, the challenge of it, all the, you know, all like the tactics and everything kind of gets weeded out. And like ultimately the strongest person comes to the front and wins the race. But mechanicals happen. You know, everyone, the Flintstone here is like yeah. famous for slashing tires. And so, and, you know, people have had, you know, 10, 15, I'm sure people have had countless flat tires. So, you know, luck does come into factor, but I also think people can kind of make their own luck by choices they make with whether how they ride, the equipment they select. As far as the mental side, I mean, I guess as long as it is, you know, you're always getting closer to the finish line. And I think that's like such a motivation for me is like, you know, like even at the aid stations when we're in and out super quick, I'm always thinking like, hey, we're going to be there that much quicker. I just say 15 seconds. You know, and I think, you know, it really is just a test of, I always say Unbound is probably like 80% a race against yourself. I mean, even if you're the person trying to win the race, it's against, you know, eating enough, drinking enough, looking after your equipment. And then maybe the last 20% is looking at your competition. But the majority of the race really is taking care of yourself. And if you can do that, then you kind of set yourself up for success.
What did Unbound mean for you as far as not only participating, but same question I asked Lauren, what did it mean for you to come across that finish line first a couple of years ago?
Crazy enough, having done like all the big road races I've done, it was the biggest win I ever had, which it blew me away. Cause you know, I had retired from pro road racing. I was like, hey, I'm going to go do this gravel thing. It's more mellow. It's more relaxed. I won. And I didn't realize how big this race was, you know, the amount of like media requests afterwards. I was on the front of magazines, you know, it was like, you know, I received messages from people who were getting ready to ride the Tour de France. Said, "Hey, congratulations on winning Unbound!" I'm like, "You're getting ready for the Tour de France. You know about Unbound gravel and Emporia Canyon?" And it really did kind of blow me away of how much notoriety this event has. You know, I've got a full time job, so it didn't really change my life as much as it did Lauren, because I'm kind of at a stage where I want to like, I'm kind of in like this nice balance. So I can still come here perform, but I've still got, you know, a life and a family back home that I want to keep that, you know, kind of equilibrium. But it's a lot bigger than people think it is. You know, I have a buddy who's coming over this year from the Giro d'Italia, World Tour rider. And I told him, I said, hey, if you win Unbound, you're going to have more recognition than if you won a stage in the Giro, which is one of the biggest races in the world, wow. just because yeah. it really does have that much attention on it, which is wild to me, having grown up watching professional road racing. And to come to this, which is, you know, still relatively new, and realize the prestige that it already has is, it's really cool to see what's been built here.
So, Ian, where do you call home now?
I live in the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont. a long way from here. But actually, funny enough, a lot of people who lived in Vermont have been out here, you know, working on farms back in the day. And, you know, similar, I would say different, obviously, geographically. But, you know, very rural, a lot of dirt roads, less Flintstone, colder winters, but very similar kind of mindset of people.
So your thoughts, too, on like we asked Lauren about, you know, this community, the Flint Hills, the event as a whole. How do you see this? Is this a pretty good place to be to run this race?
Oh, I love it. Every time I come here, I think, like, I could live in Emporia. You know, even last night, you know, I just went and cruised downtown and, like, just all the little alleys and, you know, all the old homes in town. It really is like a calming place for me. As much energy is built up here and like as much, you know, anxiety as you have on Saturday morning at 5:50 this year, the whole week is just, it's enjoyable. You know, it's fun to just like you know, kind of take a step away from the event and just cruise around the town and see what it's like. And yeah, it's so like I said, I've stayed, you know, the Guffler Mansion. This is the third year in a row, and you know, I've got my bearings straight. Know where to go. Know where all the ice cream spots are. Freddy's frozen custard. You can meet me there.
There you go.
Yeah, no, it really just kind of feels like a homecoming to come back every year.
Wow. Well, Christy, shakeout rides have already gotten started. It sounds like today's going to be pretty heavy on the shakeout ride.
Yeah, today's heavy on the shakeout rides. And, yeah, we've got the From the Saddle Film Festival.
This afternoon.
Yeah, this afternoon starting at 3 o'clock. Ian's actually helping host the Q&A for that. By the way, I was on the docket to host that Q&A, and then when Ian offered, everybody was like, oh, yeah, that's a much better choice. I was like, damn. I see where I stand.
Big long,
no,
did it.
It's awesome. And then we also have another film premiere tonight, at Shimano Park at 7 o'clock. So, there's just a lot of – and then expo. Like, the stuff going on in the expo, yeah, I can't keep it straight. I'm just trying to keep myself straight at this point. So, yeah.
We're going to be up at the Lyon County History Center. Big check-in day there tomorrow, so we'll be up there from 10 until noon. And don't forget, been talking about the Saturday morning launch, but XLers get going, what, tomorrow afternoon?
Tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's right. Is it 4?
I think it's
3 o'clock. Yeah. Okay, yeah, 3 o'clock.
The days are blurring together.
Uh-huh. They always do. But that's going to be awesome. We've got a pretty stacked field in the XL. These people are crazy. So
350.
And then you have Ashton Lambie coming in last night after doing 1,000 some miles.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
Don't add that.
I'm not adding that. I need sleep.
we had Michelle Duffy on from Unbound last week, and she was just so excited that there was going to be more unmaintained roads in this year's race. Spoken like a true gravel grinder.
We've converted her, haven't we? She's moved to Emporia.
Yeah.
She rides a bike. Mm-hmm. She's looking for the MMR. It's great.
So what about Highland Street?
It's back in.
It's back in.
Yeah, we got that call
that
late
big
last
smile
week.
On Christy's
I know.
Face.
I was so excited when we found that out. I was like, no, not Highland. But you know, we adapted, and then they gave us the call that they thought it was going to be ready. And Ben Sachs and Mason Moan worked to get it back up on the docket. And I mean, you have to end the race with Highland Hill. It's good stuff. It's paved. It doesn't count.
Pain is a privilege.
One-way communication.
I think that's where we need to end it here.
Christy, awesome.
Thanks so much for joining us here today, and we'll be seeing you in the next couple of days. Thanks.
Perfect. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks for getting this set up. Ian Boswell, Lauren DeCrescenzo, thank you for your time here this morning. Really appreciate it. And best of luck to both of you here this weekend.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm glad to have everybody in again. Christy Moan, Ian Boswell, Lauren DeCrescenzo with Unbound Activities in high gear in downtown Emporia and really across the KVUE listening area. 849 on KVUE and KVUE.com.
And our Newsmaker 2 brought to you this morning by CareArc, healthcare without the headache. Formerly Flint Hills Community Health Center, CareArc. It's 848.
It's now up to the Senate after House lawmakers...